Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 52 of Just the Drip. I am co-host GMW with Coffee McGregor in his secret remote location.
Please, in the dungeon, in the lair.
Watch, I'm seeing this big, every time I see that rowing machine, I think it's a guillotine.
A guillotine?
Every time.
I see now.
It kind of looks like you got somebody, you know, you're about to execute somebody. Chop their head off.
We chopping heads off over here, bro. We don't play no games.
It's about, hey, if it's going down,
let's get this shit over with.
Oh, man.
So, you said, what episode is this? What'd you say?
52.
Ain't nothing new. Ain't nothing new, bro.
I like how you slid that rhyme in there. There's so much new in my hood.
Oh, here. Okay. I mean, I got to know about this then.
I'm sure you listened very closely, very focused on episode 51. I went about a week and a half without a sink because my old shit was jacked up. Not sure what was going on, but I think all the piping, and I just hated the sink in general. So ordered a sink from one of the big box stores and got it. Didn't fit the hole or whatever, so I had to take that back.
So you must have quit?
Oh, yeah.
If the sink don't fit.
Yeah, it must have quit. ordered this big monstrosity. For whatever reason, the people that built my house wanted a massive sink area. So if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, most of the sinks are 33 inches in width and about 22 in depth, like from front to back. The sink opening I have is 43, so it's an extra 10 inches on the sides from the width. So it's hard. They don't carry those in stock. You can't just walk in the store and find that one, so you got to order it. And found it online, ordered it. It fit perfectly, but here's the difference. It's cast iron.
Right.
The shipping weight on this bad boy was 236 pounds.
Dang.
I opened the box and like pulled it out, try to like set it up to put it in the hole, like measure, make sure it fits. Yeah, mm-hmm. I ain't doing it by myself. And it's not like it's a 236-pound dumbbell.
I mean,
it's a 236-pound big-ass sink.
You got to hit the gym, bro. You got to hit the gym.
Yeah, I carried the old one to the dumpster
before the gym hits you. You know what I'm saying?
And it was cast iron, too. Ain't no bad thing. Shit, I don't have my guns out today.
Thank
God. I put on a long sleeve.
With a long sleeve on. This is the most appropriate episode we've ever done.
Nah, this is the first time in a while that I ain't had a tank top on.
Oh, boy.
So we're washing dishes. This thing is amazing, and you really can't. You take for granted when you have a decent sink at home because you don't know what a shitty sink is like. And the one I had was really shitty. It wasn't
like
very
you said,
deep.
You were taking a shower and washing the dishes at the same time, right?
Every time we went to go wash dishes, water would spray everywhere.
Said you had to wash dishes in the bathtub.
Oh yeah, in the other bathroom. Yeah, we were washing dishes in the shower.
I got to go get ready. Give me that casserole dish real quick.
Just wait outside the shower curtain. I hand it to you. Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. So now we're back to normal. We're all good. So
well, that's good, man. Because I get it. We went 2 days, I think, without a because our faucet was dripping like crazy, just nonstop, like stream, right? And so I tried to do the whole thing of like, all right, let me just get up on the internet, probably just change out a cartridge in it. Nope, this one didn't have none of that going on. I was like, all right, let me get on the internet and see how to change the faucet. I'm gonna do that. So I was looking under the sink, I'm watching YouTube videos. I'm like, oh, psh, this easy. Just got to get the thing out. I'm going to buy a new faucet. Boom, bought a new faucet, came home. It was almost impossible for me to fit under the sink because, you have the cupboard underneath and then it's divided with. So, bro, I had scratches on my back for a week from trying to squeeze under the sink. So I loosen everything up. I do everything according to what you're supposed to do. And I couldn't get this sink out. And it was about an hour and a half. And I realized, I had flashlights under and everything. I realized there was a, because of just using the sink over the years, mm-hmm. I don't know if it wasn't sealed properly in some areas, like where the handles were and things like that, but it was the bolts underneath were rusted.
Oh, so
I couldn't unscrew these. It was a second set of bolts I couldn't unscrew. And so yeah,
that's how they get you.
I had to admit defeat and have the plumbers come. And they had to, I think I told you this. They got the saws all out and they like cut this thing out of the. They couldn't get it out either.
Do it.
They're like, yeah, we can't get this out either. We got to get the saws all in here.
At least you feel vindicated that, you know, it wasn't just you.
Right. I wasn't just 100% bitch made, just like 82, yeah. 83.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my, so this is great. So we got the sink installed and then, fast forward, I get my water bill in, $700 for the water bill. Now for those out there that don't live in Disneyland, that is not a normal water bill. So I go out and sure enough, there's a leak in the yard. I dig my first hole of this particular line. This is the second time I've done it. So I ended up replacing the whole line, two massive 3-foot holes, because this, for some whatever reason, this line is 3 feet in the ground. So the dude that was finishing the flooring on the deck, he was coming that day to finish all the baseboards and shit.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, do you have anybody, you know, like a... he knows all kinds of handy guys. He knows masonry guys. He knows, you know, home, all the kind of woodworking, everything.
They all got COVID too?
That I don't know.
All right.
I'm immune. So
maybe it was like the COVID union.
Local 666. Damn. So he says, look, I'm going to tell you right now, I got a plumber buddy, but he's expensive. So dude comes out, he quotes me $1,200 to run a PVC line from the leak over to my source so I can bypass all this old pipe. And I said, next. Okay, that's cool.
I would have just called a landscaper, not a plumber.
Well, because I wanted to get this other valve fixed at my house too. But okay. The valve doesn't work at all. It doesn't open, it doesn't close. It just stays open.
Gotcha.
So forget that. He even quoted me like, $300 to fix that. So I was like, nah, dude, you're crazy. So I ended up digging all this out. My neighbor, I'll give a shout out to him at the end, but he came over. His brother-in-law is a plumber and hooked it all up. Got brand new pipe. I learned what Schedule 40 is. Apparently it's this really high-end PVC pipe. It's got a thicker outer wall or whatever.
Gotcha.
But the damaged pipe looks like when they buried it and then they filled it in, it looks like someone took the bucket of some kind of backhoe thing with a bucket and scraped along the top and actually flattened the pipe. So,
of course,
in my opinion, that thing's been leaking for years, but it just so happens it just finally broke within the last week or two. Actually, probably within the last month because the water bill was insane.
You're reminding me. I gotta get a leak in the backyard and front yard that I gotta fix too.
Fun stuff. And then to round it all out, I got my iPhone 12 Pro last Friday. No big deal. Here's my official review of the iPhone 12. It is identical to the 11 Pro, except for a little bit better camera. And I'm going to tell you right now, that dude that went on stage for the Apple keynote, he's full of shit. 5G, there is no difference in 5G whatsoever. Mm. Now, at least not in Vegas. Now, if I go to New York or if I go to San Francisco, like these big, you know, big spots where they probably rolled out.
Because we're supposed to have a 5G network out here too. I looked at the maps.
Supposed to, but I'm going to say now, I really don't see the difference in this. I'm at my house. I shut off Wi-Fi. I got 4G out here. If I'm closer to the middle of town, it'll say 5G, but I still get the video buffer. I still get the little circle loading thing in spots. And I thought 5G was supposed to have a wider base and more more coverage or faster speeds and
kill more.
Buddy of mine said, "Hey, you should run a speed test on your 5G to see what you're getting for download speeds." And I'm like, "Well, that's fine and dandy if I'm downloading a movie or something like that." But I could tell you right now, I'm not. I'm if I'm looking at Instagram, it's you know how there's videos on Instagram, and then it'll show like 3 seconds of the video.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll give me the circle, like it's loading the rest of the thing. And if you're on 5G, you shouldn't be doing that. Of course, that's what the hype man at the Apple keynote was saying.
That's highway robbery. That's highway robbery, yeah. Dog.
So I don't think it's as far along as that dude from Verizon said it was.
I don't even know what he said.
I don't remember either. I just know that he was super hyped that 5G is going to change the world, and they're the only ones that got it locked down.
He was Swedish, right? The 5G?
Like the Yeezys? He and everybody was clowning on Twitter. They were like, "Gee, what the hell is 5G? But yeah, that's my super long, in-depth iPhone 12 Pro.
Review.
Chrissy got hers. She got her regular 12 on Friday. So we'll see. As far as Apple goes, the Apple upgrade program is like the greatest thing in the world. It's so easy to get the phone. I love it. I'll never go through a carrier to get the phones.
Maybe I'm just not even worried about upgrading my phone now.
Oh, well, you got a pretty new phone to begin with.
It's an SE, dog. It ain't nothing special. It's just...
Nolan's got that phone.
Yeah, it's an SE, but... It kicks ass, obviously, over my 4-year-old 6S I had.
Yeah,
I
rocked that phone forever. That phone was shit.
I still got that phone somewhere. I can't bring myself to throw them joints out. But yeah, it's a good phone. I guess I don't really be doing much with my phone except for text messaging and obviously using it to podcast with. That's about it.
I shot a baseball video for a friend's kid.
Oh yeah, how'd that turn out?
I need work on video editing, and I'll say why, because I used a Mavic Air 2,
mm-hmm.
I used 2 GoPros, and I used my phone. So I've got 3 different camera, what would you call that, formats, but their own compressions, their own color, own quality.
Yeah.
But the GoPros were at 2.7. 2.7, whatever that resolution is. It's not 4K because I wanted to get 4K 60, and I couldn't shoot at whatever thing I was doing, so I ended up doing 2.7 at 60 frames, and then I used my new phone, and then I used the Mavic to get different angles because I did it. He's pitching, so it's a recruitment video for a pitcher,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay. I think it's good for what it's done for, but it's not like it's not exactly
what you want it to be at the end, right?
No, in my head, I would all the different angles, all the coloring, all the videos would look like they were shot with the same camera.
Got it.
So,
yeah, I could see that. it's just the way, you know, people like you and I are. Obviously, when you work on things, you want that consistency across the board, no matter what you're doing there.
His pop saw it and he's like, "Oh my God, that's awesome."
Oh, put
some music on it.
And like you said, I mean, it's going to serve its purpose, right? Like,
well, my hope is that this will throw off some gigs that, you know, some of the other parents that like may not know how to do this stuff may want some, cause I also put text on it and everything else. Like maybe the parents don't know how to do that. And they're like, "Yo, how'd you get that done?" And then they call me up.
Oh, yeah, I'm just a iMovie pro.
Yeah, 1200.
1200. Something like.
I'm gonna charge what plumbers charge me for 20 feet of PVC.
I'm gonna give you that discount. Plumbing, that backyard plumbing discount.
So yeah, that was my fun filled week. Mighty sore, but it's starting to wear off because I'm an athlete. So
God, my week was nothing like that. My week was really it was just boring. It was nothing. I don't think I did anything. I didn't even make it to the gym this week.
God, you do the most, Greg.
Been dealing with this.
You do the most.
Been dealing with this badass dog. That's about it, man. you know, yesterday, a bunch of grocery shopping and shit like that, just boring stuff. But speaking of yesterday, what went down for you guys with Halloween?
Had the in-laws over, watched the movie Ava.
Ava. I think I saw that when I was flipping through the
Jessica Chastain. Okay. She was in Molly's Game, which is I really like that movie. Molly's Game.
No idea what that is.
It's a story. It's actually a true story about a woman that used to be like an assistant, and she was observed or whatever. She was the organizer of this big poker game. Okay. And then she took it over, and then she got busted for illegal gambling, and like it was a big thing. But I liked the story; I thought it was cool. So anyway, she's in this movie Ava. Let me tell you what this movie is. It's the easiest review. It is the female John Wick.
I've never watched a John Wick movie. Still,
you might as well call this Joanna Wick. Because she just beats everybody's ass, and she's a great shot and everything.
Oh, G.I. Jane, I saw that movie.
Nah, she could whoop G.I. Jane's
ass.
Oh,
what? Shots fired.
Yeah, she definitely could. So that's a thing. Didn't do shit for Halloween. Nolan went over to a friend's house. They had some kind of bonfire or something. And then he was back here by like 10:30.
Bro, it was... I've never seen this neighborhood pop off so much. Like the young kids say, it was lit around here, bro. We came back from grocery shopping.
Fireworks too?
We came back from grocery shopping, dog, and that was like 4 PM, and there was a parade going on. A bunch of parents.
In your neighborhood?
Bro, in my neighborhood, right? A bunch of parents got cars and golf carts and all kinds of little 4x4 little deals.
Bro, I like that.
They're all dressed up. You know, they're going like, you know, 5 miles an hour, walking along.
So everybody can see you.
And they're handing out candy and blowing bubbles. I said, what? It looked like Disneyland on the street, bro. It was crazy.
Wish my name was Bubbles.
And then it was, okay, Mike would have been your dad. then there was like 2 or 3 different parties on my street. It was popping. I didn't hand out no candy, though. Wow. This first year I handed out no candy in my life. That I can remember.
Way out here in the sticks, I haven't had a trick-or-treater in 4 years.
Dang. Well, y'all conservative out there, though, like in more ways than one.
Oh, please.
You know what I'm saying? You can't budget for candy.
Nah.
Look, you got a choice. Ammo for the 9? Or candy for these punk-ass kids, right?
Here's the crazy thing is that last night, because we were sitting outside watching a movie.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do. According to T-Money, I watch too much Home and Gardens.
That's your boy.
So, and then all of a sudden, like, we hear these kids just, like, having the best fucking time of their lives from across the street. That's how loud they were. Mm-hmm. Having, like, this big-ass outdoor party or something. And... I'm kind of like, man, I wish I'd have had some kind of party going. Oh, sounded like a good ass time.
It was insane.
But nobody was trick or treating.
The people over my
no
people were trick or treating. The people over my back fence had a party. They must have had at least 15 people and kids over there, and they got their backyards half the size of mine, and I got a small ass backyard. And then people down the street over here, Mr. and Mrs. Salesman, they had a party. They got a party every year.
Yeah.
So it was.
You didn't dress up?
It was popping. Did I dress up?
Yeah.
Yeah. As a middle-aged man.
With a broke-ass leg.
Broke-ass leg. I dressed up as male pattern baldness. I drank tequila.
She would shave.
I drank tequila last night.
Oh, shit.
That was great.
Did it make your clothes fall off?
Did it make my toes fall off or my clothes? We talking about diabetes? Clothes,
There's a country song that's called Tequila Makes Your Clothes Fall Off.
Oh, no. Nah, my clothes
didn't fall off. I'm sure you're a big fan.
I'm too old.
I'm sure you're a big fan of that song.
I did watch it.
You drinking it straight, like on the rocks?
Nah, we mixed it with, I think we had like some hard kombucha.
Oh, Jesus.
It was actually pretty good. And then threw some lime and then some jalapeno slices up in there. And nice. Done. But I watched a really good movie yesterday on Netflix. Check it out if you got time. It's called Dark 47. Or no, Black.
Really?
Black 47.
Oh, I don't see color in 47s.
So it's about, it's, stop. You only see shades of gray 47?
That's right. That's right.
It's about, it's like a revenge story based around the Irish potato famine back in the day. But it's pretty good.
Oh, really?
The only guy in it that I recognized, well, I recognized a few people, but the only one I could pinpoint was one of the main characters is the guy that was the agent in The Matrix. Remember what he'd be like, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He was the elf.
And he was in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lord he's in this movie. He's okay. Got this big old beard and everything. But it's actually a really good movie. I was on my rower and I was like, I'm just going to turn a movie on because there was no football games on I wanted to watch at the time. And so I just turned that on a whim. And it's just one of those movies, bro. It just moves, right? Like it has a lot of dialogue in certain points. But long story short, dude comes back from helping the English fight a war and his family was done wrong. So he's like, all right, cool. I'm just going to systematically kill everybody involved down the way.
Just, shit,
just,
there goes.
Yeah, just cold-blooded. Like, he's just like, all right, cool. The switch is flipped, and now I'm going to kill this dude. I'm going to kill that dude. I'm going to burn that down. So, it's a really good movie, man. It's a simple plot. People dying. You know, rough and rugged. People got beards like yours in there. Need to be combed out.
Oh, shit. Oh, amazing
bits
beards?
Bits of potato in it.
Oh, come on. There ain't no potato in this beard.
Look, bro, I shaved. I had to get some of that off.
I know.
It was out of control, man.
There's no. I'm never dying this.
I'm not dying. Shit.
Concentrated patch of gray.
Listen, bro.
Right in the front.
There's nothing worse than when I see somebody who has roots on their beard. Their hair is bad enough on their beard. Come on, man.
Yeah, I think I told you there was a dude that was coming into the office, and he must have gone to a black barbershop. Because they did a
Beijing.
They got that Big Ben on his beard. And it was jet black. Like the absence of light dark on his face. And he had a very gray patches. So within 2 days, he's got this gray grow out.
Uh-huh.
And then this jet black. And he had just come from the barbershop too. So it was almost like a little bit of the paint was still in his shit.
Yep.
I was like, don't jump in the pool with that shit.
Yeah, it's either you go to the black barbershop or the Filipino barbershop and they'll hit you with that Beijing.
Filipino barbershop does that?
Bro, you ain't noticed how many Filipino barbers are out there these days?
Nope.
There's a lot, man. There's a really? Lot of Filipino barbers out there. They're killing it too. They're good. They're good with it.
I went to, you know this, because I was going out to that dude by your house.
Yes.
And then he didn't do appointments, so I quit going to that dude because I couldn't just roll out there and then sit there and wait
That's
for six people to
too.
Go. So I ended up going to, I found Cut Creators and Will. I was going to him for a while, but I've already discussed. Amazing haircut. Dude was a fade master. And my hair cuts pretty easy. It just fades the sides, a little trim on top. And but that's where I learned what a Beijing was at that
gotcha.
Barbershop. And these guys.
I learned from Worldstar.
That's funny.
You know.
Yeah, no, but that's where I learned about it. And then I finally somebody I used to work with started barbering and he hooks it up. He's got it, he's great fade. He knows, you know, I pretty much do my own beard, but, you know, he'll line up a little bit on the beard. But other than that, and I'm pretty loyal to a single barber. I don't venture out.
I think once you find somebody that does your hair, if you're particular,
yeah.
You know, some people are like, whatever, run into Supercuts wherever and just get their hair done up real quick. That's all they need is a quick trim and they're done. But, when I was a kid, you know, of course, I always wanted the fresh fade, like, and I was like 15, 16, 17 years old.
Yep.
But then I just remember I would be like, hey, mom, you know, could I get like $25 to go get my hair cut? She'd be like, psh.
Good luck.
Yeah, so I was like only
you're get a job.
Bro, I was only going to the barber, no shit, like 5-6 times a year maybe.
With that high top fade?
Bro, well, that's what happened. So what happened was it was when I was like 14, 15 when I started wanting to go to the barber and getting faded up real clean, right? Like kids were going to the getting their haircut, but kids wasn't really having the really, really fresh fades. Like only there was this one kid, Billy. God, I can't remember his last name. Billy used to have the Air Jordan logo. This is in junior high. He had the Air Jordan logo always cut into the back of his head with a fade too.
Damn.
We better be like, damn, you see Billy's fade with the Air Jordan. Sometimes he have the 23 on the side. Sometimes the hoop would be up there. Oh, we was like, what? Man. And so I remember like, you know, that's when I, you know, instead of just going to just anybody just to just cut my hair down shorter, all of a sudden I was like, you know, I'm trying to get, I want a high top fade. That's the shit now.
And copyright infringement.
So, that's when I like told my mom I wanted to go to, you know, don't send me to these, like the supercut type joints. And then our neighbor, My mom's like, oh, the neighbor cuts hair. And so I go to the neighbor. Neighbor cuts hair with scissors, fam.
What?
Yes.
She would break out the clippers
and put them on like a three guard. And that's how as low as my sides would get. And the rest she would shape with scissors. I was like, nah, I'm not. It's like, mom, these people are white. I can't do this. Like, I gotta get to the barber.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I
agree with you. Until you've experienced different barbershops, you know that I've had my hair cut by the rainbow of barbers, mm-hmm. all ethnic backgrounds. And I can say when I went to the Cut Creator shop, I let every single barber in that shop cut my hair. Mm-hmm. I would go back every 3 weeks and I'd pick a new person because I didn't have someone. I wanted to test everybody's fade skills.
Right.
And I won't say which one cut my hair and I went straight home and shaved my head.
I think I know this story.
Because you already know which one did it.
You don't need any more labels, George, in the 2020.
Nope. And I went straight home. And I was so pissed off at how fucked up my hair was that I actually shaved my head that day. And then I went to work.
With a hat?
I shaved my head. No, I shaved my head.
Damn.
It didn't matter. So I was so pissed. I wasn't going to try and comb this shit. And I don't know if the person did it because she was kind of... they kind of was like, fuck him. I'm going to fuck his hair up. But I could tell you, of all the people in there, two of the guys were really good at fades, and the guy Will was the best. So I went to Will for a better part of a year.
Yeah, what happened? I remember you were going to him for a while.
He kind of ran on his own schedule.
Yeah, that's what it was. And you'd be sitting there like for like 45 minutes waiting for him to get there, right?
Well, because the shop opened at 9.
Right.
And then I would have like a 9:30 appointment, so I would always show up like 10 minutes early. And there's already somebody sitting in a chair. And then he ain't there yet. So like 9:15 would roll around, and then the person would get there and open the door when they open at 9. So they would actually open the door at 9:15, and then everybody would start rolling in. And then I wouldn't actually get in the chair until like 10.
Yeah.
And then look, the dude was a master at his crafts, but my haircut would take an hour.
Oh, wow.
And it was amazing because he would also line the beard up and everything too. But
half your day's gone by the time you get to work or whatever.
Yeah, it was time consuming. The dude is amazing at the fade, but
that was it. I think it's great when you can find somebody. I never had a set barber because it was just few and far in between because my mom wasn't trying to give me money to go get my hair cut, you know, every week. If you got a fade, like, listen, you trying to run around with a high top fade, you got to get that joint cleaned up at least once a week.
Can't get it cleaned up with a three either.
No. And so that's why it was ninth grade. I was like, I'm going to start cutting my own hair. And I'm going to learn. And so it was the summer before ninth grade, eight to ninth grade. And I just was like, I'm gonna start cutting my own hair. I gotta learn how to do this. It's summertime. I can fuck my hair up as much as I want and just wear a hat. Yeah. You know what I mean? And be straight. And so I just started trying to cut my own hair. And This was funny because we went into freshman football. My friends talked me into playing football. I didn't want to play. And they're like, nah, you got to play. Yeah. You got to play. I was like, all right. And so I started cutting my hair. You know, it was like the first week of practice. And I was like, oh, I got to get my hair cleaned up. You know, I want to look good out there. Even though you got a helmet on, you still want to be cleaned up showing up.
Yeah.
And so I start cutting my hair. And so I start fading up the right side and then did the left. And then the left was a little too high. So then I started fading the right up higher. And then I was just got to the point where my fade was like,
you know, faux hawk.
Bro, I was like, damn, this shit is way, I fucked it up. I can't do a high top now because now it's going to look like a box sitting on top of a circle. So I was like, I gotta do something with this, right? But I didn't want to go bald. I was really self-conscious at the time because my head, I have scars on the top of my head. So I was really, really worried people would like look at these scars on top of my head and be like, fuck's wrong with your fucked up ass head? And so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna cut this bitch into a mohawk. It's already halfway to a mohawk right now anyways. So I cut it into a mohawk. And I remember the head coach, the varsity coach, Coach Trosdahl, rest in peace. But Coach Trosdahl, all of us freshmen were out there, and he started cussing us out one day for fucking around at practice or something. So we're all lined up outside the gym. He starts cussing us out, and he goes, oh, and look at you, Mr. I want all the fucking attention. And he's like pointing at me. He's like, everybody look over here. This guy's a fucking individual. He wants everybody to look at him. Look at his fucking haircut. Oh. I was like, God damn.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Like, bro, like I cut the mohawk out for two reasons. One, out of necessity because I fucked up. And two, I just thought it was kind of funny. Like, oh, fuck it. Mohawk. My friends would be like, oh, shit, you got a mohawk. And, you know, ha ha. This dude took it to the next level and shit. And I just, bro, I just, you know, that's what do you do?
Awesome.
You, like, it was, I brought, it was like day number three of playing football in my entire life. And then I'm a freshman on B team, you know, and then the varsity head coach comes over and starts cussing me out. I just stood there and looked like an idiot. I was like,
because of your haircut?
Because of my haircut, bro.
Fuck coaches.
Literally because of my haircut. Nothing. I didn't do anything else. I did nothing. And I was like, God damn, man. Like,
did you get a chance to explain yourself?
I didn't say shit. I just sat there like an idiot. I didn't know what to do. It was my, like I said, it was my first time playing football. I was like, I guess I just sit here and just get cussed out.
That's awesome.
And so I did. But anyways, long story short, even though that was a long part of the story, I eventually learned how to cut hair really well. And I was cutting my hair all the time. And I ended up, bro, I was cutting like 10 to 15 heads a week in my garage.
Wow. Just, how much?
I was doing it for free. Oh, and we called ourselves the Philly Crew. We had PC.
I remember.
Yeah, I told you, I was shaving PCs in everybody's head. Yep. Bro, come on, dog. White boys was coming over. And then, I was cleaning everybody
up. And then people started tagging up the neighborhood with PC.
That's right. Pyru Crips. Oh, man. Good anyways, luck. Yeah. So just again, also to end this, it's funny because Marcus came home from college. I was like, bro, you need a fucking haircut. And I was like, look, I'm going to send you to this. I started looking at barbershops, right? Like on Yelp and Google and just one down the street got a pretty good rating. So this kind of brings me to the Filipino thing. So it's all Asian dudes and chicks in there cutting hair. And it's funny because I found out later, I guess Bryce Harper goes into this one quite a bit. Like the dude, the barber that owns the shop has like a bunch of pictures of him cutting Bryce Harper's hair. Like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty funny. But anyways, they do a good ass job though.
It's out by you?
Yeah. It's like Desert Inn and Fort Apache.
Damn, he drives that far? All right.
Fuck it. He ain't got nothing else to do.
That's
what
true.
What else are you going to do? Well, I guess
learn this, how to is hit over 200?
This is a coffee podcast.
Yeah, we want to get into this in this coffee.
Already in it.
Gregor, I got this week's coffee. Our social media is going insane, out of control. And we got, I'm trying to figure out how, I know I didn't reach out. I think they sent us a message say, hey, we would love to be on your show. You know, we could send you coffee, this and that. And I said, well, we don't review any free coffee. We'll happily buy some. And, you know, I don't want to take money out of your pocket. We'll actually pay for the coffee,
right?
So that you know you can get the funds for that, and we can review the coffee. So This is Flashlight Coffee. The one that I ordered is the Costa Rica Milton Sanchez.
Oh.
And this comes out of the Monte Alto farm in Costa Rica. And there's some history behind it. This is a washed process. And for the people out there that love to know the Maisels, I had to do some deep, deep searching for this. Because the Maisels, one, I got the coffee. And of course, like we've said on here many, many times, and every single roaster does this, they take, once they sell out, they take the coffee off the website. So I can't go back and get the details. So I had to do a search, found the cached version of
the page. This did sell out?
Yep.
Man, we got to start ripping these pages immediately.
Yeah, I got to either take a screenshot or something, because you can't, once it's done, they don't put it in like a ex-roast garden. They just flat out take it right off the site. So found it. They do not list the Maisels on this coffee on the site. So I started doing a search for the Monte Alto farm, Hacienda Monte Alto. And I found out that it is 4,425 feet plus above sea level. Broke that down, 1,475 Maisels.
Quick maths.
So we got that Maisel count for you. We hitting you with the big stuff. Tasting notes on this coffee. Pear, stone fruit, and garden party. Greg, you getting garden party?
So I have never attended a garden party. been to a few parties in, like, you know, out in the desert, empty lots. Gardens, no. So, you know, I think you and I were trying to speculate earlier in the week or whatever, a week ago, when I first got the bag, and I'm like, garden party? And we're like, so what is it? Is it herbal? Is it floral? Are there specific? I mean, I guess gardens could also have vegetables and fruit in them. I don't know.
I think it's earthy.
You think it's earthy?
Like, now, after tasting the coffee, it's earthy.
Let me tell you this, though.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, I always put the cheat code in. I always spend a little bit of time with the coffee before I and before I can really talk about it. This is my third cup of this week. First, the pear, I was like, it's eluding me. What I found helped, though, obviously, we always talk about this, let your coffee cool down quite a bit. That and brew it a bit heavier on the water. So you get your ratio to like a 1 to 17, maybe 1 to 18, possibly even. Ooh. Lighten it up. I think this coffee shines when it's more, I don't want to say flavor-wise tea-like, but when it's more consistency, density, you know, in your water, yeah. Your water to coffee particles, or whatever they call that, soluble, whatever's particles.
I would agree with you there, because of I try to keep the same method for every coffee, so that I don't, unless the bag says otherwise, I try to keep the same method for each coffee. Mm-hmm. And those that listen to every single episode know that I've been doing 16 to 1. I do 57 grams of coffee for 900 milliliters of water. And that's the thing with this particular bag. I opened the bag up, and what I started doing an episode or maybe two episodes ago is I'll get that smell right out of the bag. Mm-hmm. I got kind of a caramel, semi-sweet smell in the bag when I opened it up. And then now what I'm doing is I'm getting the beans real close to my nose to really, really like smell the bean. Right. And then when I get the beans real close to the nose, it's weird because now I'm getting like some grapefruit.
Okay.
In the bean. And this, I hadn't even paid attention to the tasting notes, but that's just what I smelled. That's what my mind connected. So then, you know, I brewed it up, and then I like to take the cap off the manual, and then just smell the coffee fresh out of the brew. And then I got kind of a faint, sweet candy smell. Now, you said, it's funny that you say this, where you wanted to do a little lighter. So you want to add more water to kind of kind of loosen it up a little bit. I kept with the same one. This has right out of the gate, this has a really bold flavor to me. It doesn't have a sweet. It doesn't have a, it's got kind of a hard, bold flavor. It's got coffee flavor, but it's not light. It's not like a light roast flavor. So
if I had to expound a bit more on what I said, I find this coffee, you know, and first of all, let me say this real quick. And I think we may have mentioned this before. I don't know what a stone fruit tastes like. I don't even know what it, I couldn't even tell you what it looks like. I've never even heard or seen it, rather. I've heard of it, but I've never seen it anywhere. George is doing his Googles.
I am.
But this coffee, what'd you find, George?
It looks like a peach.
Oh, interesting.
Or an apricot. Stone fruit is a fruit with a seed in the middle.
All right, like a pit. Got it.
Yeah. But I'll tell you right now, I don't know. I mean, I'm not getting apricot.
No, but I mean,
or peach.
I, how can we say what it tastes like? We never had it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I've had peaches and apricots before, but I don't get that taste here.
So, you know, this is what, a Costa Rican? I find this coffee with a higher ratio to be somewhat like some Ethiopians that are more floral, where you need that bigger, in my opinion, that wider ratio of water to bean to bring out some of the more delicate flavors that I think can be overwhelmed by, for lack of a better word right now, that stronger coffee taste, right? There's nothing off-putting about this coffee whatsoever. What you said is correct, though. I think when the ratio is a little bit lower at a 1 to 15, 1 to 16, it has more of a bold coffee body to it. I think lightening it up brings out a lot more of the flavor here, and it does become more floral. I do taste that pear in there. Absolutely. Again, stone fruit, I don't know what that is. Maybe I need to try it so I can identify that flavor. But overall, I think I actually really like this coffee. And what was it we had that had the banana flavor in it? Was that last week or 2 weeks ago?
God, good question.
I can't remember.
I definitely don't think I tasted banana.
This reminds me of that coffee because there's a complexity here.
It was last week.
Last week? Okay. There's a complexity here to where you taste these notes. And to me, there's like four or five notes that hit, and it's, you can't necessarily identify them and pinpoint them all, right? I think they're very harmonious, though. I think this is a very nice coffee, to be honest with you. You and I, again, this is 3-4 episodes ago, I think we tend to get more excited over like some of the more funky fermented coffees at times. We're like, what is that, right? Something that throws you for a loop, and you ponder and you sip and you ponder and you sip and you ponder. This, while I think it's somewhat mysterious in its flavor, it doesn't have any particular note that's coming out and punching you in the mouth. You know, I think it's a harmonious blend. I think it's a little mysterious, but I think it works really well together, everything that's going on in here. Is this a single origin?
That's a great question. I have no idea. I'm glad I could help out with that, but I have no idea.
Yeah, this...
It doesn't say it on the bag. The cached page that I found, you know, just showed. I put some of the details in here. It's sourced from the same farm.
Okay.
This is a washed coffee from producer Milton Sanchez. Will immediately take you back to a summer picnic. It's delicate and sweet stone fruit and floral on the finish. That's from the website.
Gotcha.
Hacienda Monte Alto, that's the farm, is located on the west side of the mountains dividing Costa Rica's metropolitan area from the Atlantic coast. Its weather is strongly influenced by the interaction between the shore winds and the valley microclimate, which provides adequate rainfall, even when the surrounding areas are experiencing drought or harsh summers. I guess. And it didn't say that they're getting it from multiple farms. So I would imagine this is from the same place. I don't think it's a blend.
Okay.
I don't know. If I had to guess, that's it. It's funny just reading that. This Hacienda Monte Alto must be in a better position than some of the other farms we read about earlier in the week. Because remember, we were reading about some of the droughts that were hitting, you know, now it's climate change. Even though I found a story from 2016 that said climate change was affecting those crops. And now 4 years later, climate change still affecting the crops. It's not a drought, it's climate change. Got it. But either way, it's not raining as much there. But then I read this story and they must have just got lucky and picked a spot in the Costa Rican mountains that either the change hasn't hit or the drought hasn't hit. It just must be in a really perfect area to get enough rainfall to keep their beans in
right. Good, at this point, it kind of
comes standing
down to like geography, right? The way the wind and
yeah. Well, and it's funny. We were talking about that. One of the things, or actually two of the things that they talked about, there was two of three ways to help farmers get through this drought climate change period. One of them was moving their farms higher up in the mountains where there's more adequate rainfall.
Yep.
Two was planting shade trees in their farms so that the beans and the bushes didn't get so much direct sunlight.
Okay.
So it kind of protected them from the harsh
heat. Yeah, that's right.
And then it said, maybe stop growing Arabica and switch over to Robusto beans.
Yeah, Robusta? Robusta rhymes?
Robusta,
that's right.
Yeah, Robusta
rhymes.
That's
how rhymes I remember
that. Robusta one of the episodes rhymes we did. And, you know, doing some reading about that, like Arabica is more of what we drink day to day. The Robusta is more of a
espresso, if I'm not mistaken.
Espresso blend.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an espresso blend. So that, you know, it's funny hearing that stuff, but it sounds like these guys picked, according to reading online, because I had to look up several other sites about the Monte Alto farm, because the website for Flashlight doesn't have a lot of stuff on it. So found it, and it looks like they, you know, they took it over from the guy that passed away earlier. And they've been running it for a while.
Somebody passed away?
Yeah, the farm. let me see here if I can find the page I was reading. Milton Sanchez Martin inherited whatever in 1986 when his father Milton Sanchez Cortez passed away.
Gotcha.
So he says they've been doing this farm for about 100 years. That's a long time.
I think the last farm we looked at was also 100 years.
Yeah, that's running things for quite a while. So it stayed in the fam. So the Sanchez family since the early 20th century, when it was acquired by Don Julio Sanchez Lapiz.
Man, you know, like I always think about coffee farms, how amazing that must be, and then I keep hearing these stories about how difficult it is. It like sounds like a scary, volatile business to me.
But I wonder, it sounds like these guys, I mean, they got, if you have the perfect climate and the perfect, you know, space, then all you really got to do is work.
Right. Like
these guys, from the sounds of it, they don't even have to worry about sun or climate or any
but
of that stuff.
But that's the thing, right?
They get steady.
We got to think, I think with climate change, there are probably quite a few places that had the perfect climate until shit changed, yeah, right? And then you're asked out.
Yeah. So that's that part, you know, that part's cool. But this Flashlight Coffee does not have its own coffee shop. So what they do is they, according to their Instagram, they roast fresh every Wednesday from San Francisco. So the roasting house is somewhere in San Francisco. I could not find that address.
Gotcha.
Not that there's a big deal. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to want to go just kick it in their roasting area.
Right.
They do have a couple of coffee shops in San Francisco that they source coffee to. And then obviously they sell online. That's how we got it. One of the things I thought was pretty funny from their Instagram is they've been roasting OK coffee since 2018.
That's what I find funny too. I was on their the shop just going through and looking at their different coffees, and they have these t-shirts. It's all Flashlight OK coffee.
Yeah.
So
is it? It's kind of funny.
It is actually really funny. So hey, a little self deprecating and you know humility there, but it's good.
Yeah. The one of the things is I think might you know I it'd be cool to talk to them because I have talked to them a little bit on Instagram. What happens with you or I with you know where we're in the business of kind of what we do. They don't have a lot of details on their website.
Right.
And the only thing I could think of is they're so busy perfecting their roasting and sourcing beans and getting all that stuff together that they don't really put a lot of details into the web other than the shopping cart setup. You can, if you're a wholesaler, you can buy wholesale beans from them, but I would love to see them develop an about us section on the website so that we get to know, you know, who is Fleshlight Coffee? How'd you get started?
The Fleshlight?
You know, who's your, I know you said that.
I swear to, I wasn't going to make the joke, but I swear to God, you just said it.
No, I know. Yeah, you were. You always play.
I promise you.
But you know, I see some of the photos on there and it looks like there's a guy and a girl that do the roasting, with Fleshlight. And I haven't asked what their names are or anything like that, but you know, I'd like to hear a little more about how they got started in roasting and, you know, what brought them to doing coffee, why they chose San Francisco, you know, other than wanting to pay a whole lot more money for space.
Well, they probably already lived in San Francisco and that's probably, you know, it's probably possible. A good scene to get exposed to coffee.
It's possible.
You know, I think kind of to close out on the coffee, I always want to reflect on design, right? I love the design, which is weird because it's just one of these bio tray, these, you know, like generic white coffee bags that has a sticker on it. Mm-hmm. But I love the sticker because it's the full face of the bag. It's a metallic paper, basically. And I think that just the overall design with some of these like fluid, rounded, organic shapes is just awesome. It really works for this. It brings this, obviously there's kind of an earthy color palette here on this one. It's like gold and peach and, you know, a vanilla or off-white or something like that. Copper.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. You're not going to get a lot of information. You get the name of the coffee, the tasting notes, it's a washed, and then you get the weight, 12 ounces, 340 grams. You know, there's no little cute sayings on it or extra patterns on the side panels or, again, you know, a paragraph on the back or contact information, which I found a little interesting. I was like, oh, Fleshlight. Cause I had the bag at first and I looked at the bag and I'm like, oh, where's the website at on here?
Where's the website? Where's the social?
Right. And I was looking
all the stuff that the people are finding.
Because I was in the kitchen brewing and I had my phone with me. And I'm like, oh, let me, you know, while I'm brewing, let me just go to their website. And I'm like, oh, I was like, I'm assuming it's Fleshlight Coffee because Fleshlight would probably be hard to get, fleshlight.com. But I just found that interesting. Yeah. And then also when I was just on their website looking around, it looks like the designer, of the bag, stickers or whatever is Caitlin Henderson, CaitlinHenderson.com. And, looks like
you found that on their website,
it's on their website under the Ethiopia Kayon Mountain Natural, bag is what I'm looking at right now. And it says designed by Caitlin Henderson. I'm assuming she didn't design the coffee, but rather she designed the label. And I clicked or copied that URL rather because it was not a clickable.
Yeah, you copied it.
Yeah,
you
didn't click it. And so, yeah, and I went to that website. And so, you know, she looks like she does some pretty cool packaging designs here.
Oh, yeah. Check that out. Man. Well, learning something new every day.
That's what we do. We learn and then we in turn pass that education on to the stupid masses.
You're welcome. Good coffee. I agree with you, the bag. Here's the thing in local roaster, if you notice on my bag, you'll know where those little clips come from.
Oh, that's funny, George, because if you notice on my bag, you might know those clips.
Dude, I'm cracking myself. This is funny as hell. For those that listen to episodes here with Just a Drip, these are mothership clips. And I just, the wife hated these because I kept every one of them because we would buy
I've got like 12 of them sitting in my cupboard right now.
So one of the things I noticed about this bag that is different from every other bag, except for last week, because you'll notice last week's bag has clips on it too. The last 2 weeks that we've had coffee, they are not self-sealing bags. Once you cut the top open, they are just
open. Didn't have the clips or anything, right? Gotcha.
And so that's why I've got two bags sitting here on my desk with clips on top just to keep the fresh.
Well, George, I've got a pleasant surprise for you. Next week's coffee does have...
Oh, wiggity what? It does
seal, so you're good to go.
Nice.
But we'll talk more about them next week.
Ooh. All right.
You know what?
I like it.
Okay, go ahead. I think you're going to say the same thing I was going to say.
Yeah, just to wrap it up. I mean, I like it. It is a bolder flavor, which we haven't had. We've been doing a lot of lighter ones, a lot of Ethiopians, stuff that just really doesn't have a strong, bold coffee flavor. And I think this is a good change of pace. And I'm looking forward to brewing up more of this. And finishing up the bag.
Yeah, I like it. I think this is, I've given this award a few times, and well, not award, this title rather. I think this is a workhorse coffee. I think this can be enjoyed black, and I think it also will hold its own for anybody that does cream or sugar or anything, you know, vegan milk. I bought like a macadamia milk at the store yesterday just to try. I haven't tried it yet, but we're going to find out what that tastes like. So check
Macadocious.
Macadocious. Check them out, flashlightcoffee.com. And thank you, Flashlight Coffee, for, I guess, you know, reaching out to us and bringing attention, rather, to your product so we could check it out.
I like it. Thank you.
George.
You ready for some news, Greg?
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the news.
Getting into this news,
what
Gregor,
are we talking about?
We have a deep, extensive news breakdown for you today.
Extensive, I don't like that.
Consisting of one amazing story. Science reveals the perfect time to drink coffee for a healthy metabolism. And I'm glad you started talking about cleaning up your diet, because this will help you clean up that metabolism so you can get rid of all that junky stuff and flush yourself out the appropriate way.
I feel like I gotta go flush after we get off this episode.
Yep. Stay up late into the night and revive yourself upon waking up with a cup of strong coffee. While the caffeine may perk you up, it could also have a negative effect on your metabolism, new research suggests.
Who wrote this, Dr. Fauci? He said could.
And the word negative
was in there.
I'm not reading any more of this if it was Fauci. according to a new study published by the journal British Journal of Nutrition, a single bad night's sleep isn't likely to acutely impair metabolism. Having coffee before breakfast the next day can. Hmm. So that's a really odd study. So if you have a bad night's sleep, they don't want you to drink coffee before you have breakfast. Which is, that's a very odd study.
It is an odd study.
So you're people.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. It's British. What are you going to do? It may be better to wait until after breakfast to have coffee following a bad night's sleep, rather than before breakfast, in order to balance the stimulating effects of the coffee with their potential to disrupt glucose metabolism. Greg, you probably have more to speak on glucose. Oh,
my glucose metabolism, it's upside down.
Can't hide it.
You know, I'm glad you posted this, George, and I'm going to tell you why. Our boy, James Hoffman, who doesn't know us and we don't know him, yet he's our boy.
He knows us. He knows us.
He posted a video yesterday about the effects of coffee on glucose levels in the bloodstream.
I need to watch it, and it's
possible it's based off of this study. So he did this, and he actually has a glucose monitor on his arm, which he didn't give details as to why, but he said he's had it for a few months now. And he posted his results following some of the suggestions here on this, saying if wow. you drink coffee before you eat, how it'll affect spikes in your glucose metabolism. If you drink coffee after you eat, and if you, and then he did a third one where he drank coffee, ate breakfast, and then went on like a 30-minute walk. Wow. And so accordingly, the first one, it did spike more, but not to the levels of which the one study that he read indicated, as high as it said it would spike the glucose levels.
Yeah.
And he said it's, you know, it, of course, he starts talking about it. He's like, well, what could be the factors in play here, right? Everybody's body is different, number one, so everybody's going to react differently. He's like, but number two, could it possibly have something to do with the fact that I'm a habitual coffee drinker, he says. I drink 2 cups of coffee yeah. a day, you know, just regular, on average, that's what it is. So my body might react differently because I consistently drink coffee every single day. And so I started thinking about that. I'm like, yeah, you know, of course, if somebody, it's not somebody that drinks a lot of coffee and then they didn't sleep very well and they're tired the next morning, and they like go and get coffee, you know, only drinking it, you know, once, twice or three times a week. Of course, it'll probably have more of an effect. But I found very interesting, but also not just interesting, but it made the most sense was the low intensity exercise after eating. Keeping the blood, and that this has nothing to do with coffee. This just has to do with eating in general. If you eat and gotcha. Go on a walk or ride a bike, you know, at a very low setting, not to the point where you feel like you're going to throw up, but just enough to just yeah. get your blood moving and get your heart rate up a little bit, it's going to balance out those levels in your body. It's going to help prevent spikes, you know, and a lot of people do that just to, they figure, all right, I just ate, you know, 800 calories or 500 calories worth of food. If you go on a 30 minute to 1 hour walk, you're going to burn off, you know, 300 to 400 calories. So you're cutting your food. Like it's, you know, it's literally the exercise, but it's a low impact. It's not like I need yeah. to mitigate.
You're not running yeah, a marathon.
I need to mitigate exactly that. I need to go mitigate my food intake by, you know, running, you know, 2,000 yard sprints. No, just walk. You know, that's enough to actually keep those glucose levels in check and to keep that metabolism going the right way and keep your blood sugar and everything leveled out and burn calories.
Nice. Well, you know, we're getting you with that science. I've stated on a few of these, I'm an amateur scientist. So I obviously read these and understand, you know, a lot of this coming from my background of reading.
Well,
not a lot of science, but I do read about science.
George Wilson, player hating degree. I got a PhD.
Self-taught.
Player hating degree.
Self-taught scientist. And that's the news.
That is the news.
It's news for this week. We got it. I tell you, stuff has got to get back to normal so we can get some news in here. All they're talking about in the majority of the news is just coffee roasting. I'm not going to sit here and read about Starbucks.
Oh, they do find a way to be in the news all the time, huh?
They do. And I just don't want to give updates on Starbucks every single week. So enough of them, enough stories about the top five, you know, coffee latte recipes. And I want to hear stuff of what's going on all over the world. And we need to get with that.
Yeah. I do too. It's funny how we talked about it. We're like, you know, this is the beginning of the pandemic. I think it was like around April, May. We're like, wow, the coffee news is just half of it's about coffee shops shutting down, you know, and it kind of got depressing. Nobody was throwing coffee at anybody. Nobody was peeing on the floor at the register. You know, the really exciting stuff.
You know, nobody's spiking old Italian ladies' coffee with tranquilizer
at like work
last week. I know, God. Dude. That's the craziest thing ever.
Oh, my God.
Shout outs. I'd like to give a shout out to my neighbor and his brother-in-law for helping me out and actually jumping in and helping me dig this leak out.
And went from just the drip to just the massive leak.
Yeah, they helped me. They helped me. They installed my new hot water heater. Did all the plumbing work and all that stuff. So these guys are, These guys are awesome. They're both retired, so I almost think they look for stuff to do. They love a challenge. They love a project. They got excited when they thought they were going to change a valve because it requires plumbing stuff, and they love this shit. But shout out to them. They helped me out a lot, and today I have 8 bags of sand. I am going to cover up the new pipe that we put in with sand and then backfill it with all the stuff I dug out.
There you go.
So that the rocks don't sit directly on the pipe. This is something I learned from them.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, knock on all the wood in the world, that I don't have any more leaks ever again.
Well, I'm glad the whole leak thing happened, like I said, because you reminded me I got to get mine fixed before it becomes a bigger problem. Shout outs. I don't know if I have it. Shout outs to my homegirl Kat over at Trader Joe's. You know, I remember when the Trader Joe's over here in Summerlin first opened, she was working the register. I met her. She was a really nice lady. And then I hadn't seen her in a while. And then she just recently came back to work there. And I think she works there full time now instead of part time like she was. And she's just really cool. She nice. Makes you smile every time you see her. You know how anybody that's been to Trader Joe's knows, you go in there and they start, you know, some of them have the really, I don't know if it's like a thing where they say like, hey, you need to engage the customer in conversation and whatever, or if it's just the type of person that works there. But I think Kat is one of the coolest cats around over there. And so shout out to Kat. That's my homegirl, man. That's my homegirl. She makes me smile every time I see her. And again, she's over here in the downtown Summerlin location. So tell her, you know, Coffee McGregor from Just the Drip said what's up if you see her.
Make sure you tell her. I think I've been in Trader Joe's twice in my life. So I've been in Whole Tuck more than I've been in Trader Joe's.
It's not my favorite because they are a very small footprint store. So their selection's not as wide as you would like. I think it's the perfect type of grocery store. We supplement. We go to 3 different stores every freaking week. I hate it. But it's the perfect store, I think, for people that are like, they don't have, I don't know, people do a lot of family shopping in there. I personally think it's better if you're just like single, or if you're a younger person or something and looking for a small variety, you know, that's the place to go. Because it's just more concise in terms of what they have inventory wise in there. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, shout out to Kat. Yo girl.
That's my homegirl.
You're doing the most. Kat. Good work.
That's it, George. I gotta go get ready and take my dog to dog training.
I got to go fill a hole. So have a great week, everybody.
Yeah.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another amazing episode of Just the Drip. You could follow and tag us on social media at It's Just the Drip. Tell everyone to search and subscribe to Just the Drip on iTunes, Spotify, Pocket Cast, or any other of your favorite podcasting apps. Have a great week, and don't forget to keep dripping.